OTB
AM. Brought to you by Avantcard Reward Plus Credit Card. Powered by MasterCard. Straight up better than your current credit card. Avantcard DAC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
All right, you're welcome back to OTB AM this morning. I'm delighted to say Michael Quinlivan has joined us in studio at our tactics board, Owen. Yeah. This is your slot now, so don't screw it up.
Well, it's interesting. There's plenty of things we can focus in on, and the game we're going to start off with today is going to be Kerry against Mayo in terms of how the two teams set up. You can, by all means, disagree with everything I'm about to say here, but it does seem kind of on the face of it that Kerry and Mayo are both going to set up fairly similar to how they set up in their last respective games, and also set up in a not too dissimilar way to one another. Now, the way they actually might approach the game is going to be a bit different. We may get stuck into Kerry first, and because there might be a little bit more to talk about when it comes to Mayo. And when it comes to the Kerry setup, we've got a traditional formation set up here. Kerry, obviously, the last day set up with a sweeper, Jack Sherwood in front of the full back line. The full back line, it seemed, when it came to practice at in the Munster final, was Tadhg Morley, it was Jason Foley, and it was Paul Murphy. And then you had these two attacking wing backs in Gavin White and Thomas Sullivan. In midfield then you had David Moran and you had Jack Barry playing for Kerry, and then you get into the forwards, which is quite interesting. James O'Donoghue is back in the mix for Kerry this weekend. Personally, I think there's every chance he's not going to play. I think they're going to stick with Paul Gainey and with David Clifford inside. I don't think you can afford to play three offensive men in the full forward line against a team like Mayo. So Stephen O'Brien will hang on to the corner forward role with a half forward line of Dermot O'Connor, Sean O'Shea, and we'll have another player in there as well, probably Darren Moynihan. So ultimately, you could have a situation here where Stephen O'Brien drops a lot deeper with your two inside. I'm not sure if that's how you think Kerry's going to
play. I think it'll be pretty similar. I think both of them will only play with maybe two inside, and they'll play an extra man either in their half forward line or certainly as a link between the two, so that if the battle zone here, if the ball's won in there, it'll be trying to get a kick pass into this man before the ball goes inside. I think the Super 8s have gotten, you know, a lot of grief over the last while about the structure and that, but I think the one thing, like, this weekend is going to showcase the best of what it has to offer, where you have a huge game at a provincial venue like down in Kerry, you know, massive travelling crowd. I mean, the Kerry crowd haven't had a Munster final there in the last 2 years. They've had to go to Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Their only Super 8 game last year against Kildare was a dead rubber, so I really expect full house, cracking game, and it will be the best, unfortunately, until we get back to Croke Park, because 38,000 down in, or 32,000, sorry, the reduced capacity down in Fitzgerald Stadium will be an incredible occasion. But if you brought that to Croke Park, it's lost, kind of. For the game itself, I think Kerry are very conscious. I think they will be very conscious of what happened against Cork. Rory Dean caused them so many problems, picking up the ball, running at their half-back line, and suddenly ending up inside in their goal. And Mayo have a lot of strong runners in their team.
Funny they had somebody who could pick the ball up deep and run straight at goal.
Yeah. I think Mayo have probably four or five of those.
Yeah.
Between their midfield, their half-back line, and even some of their half-forward line could probably do it again. I mean, you saw probably the goal of the championship. That's the blueprint. The problem for Mayo is, can they sustain that for a full 70 minutes? I mean, they went to the wire against Armagh 2 weeks ago. They had a provincial derby last weekend, which would have taken a lot of emotional energy as well as the physical toll that can take. And you saw the lull that happened them about halfway through the second half. Their experience saw them through. But there was a stage there where Galway were coming back into it, and if the penalty goes in, it's game on going into the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the problem for Mayo. I don't think they can go full throttle at Kerry, because I don't know, do they have the level of energy to do that?
And they don't yet seem to have the defensive solidity or the ability to just take the sting out of a game and keep possession and bore the opposition for 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think it'll be a very cagey first 20 to 25 minutes. I think both teams will try and feel each other out. I think Kerry will set up a structure to try and stop Mayo, because I think Mayo have to get in front to go and win this game.
What is that structure?
I just think that Kerry, this area here behind their half back line, because their two half backs are very, very good going forward, but The problem is, if they leave the space here and Mayo exploit it, they're in a bit of bother. So I think you'll find that one of their half forwards, perhaps maybe both of them, won't be as offensive as you think. I think you'll see that you'll have maybe four in their attack, with the two of these a small bit deeper. So that if Gavin White or if Thomas Sullivan decide that, you know, and it's a very much a strength of their game, that they can go the whole length of the field that you'll sit in, they won't give Mayo the opportunity to get in behind them after a turnover in their middle third. And I think if Mayo try to build from deep, I think you'll find Kerry will try to play with a bit of a Roman sweeper, where maybe one of their midfielders will go back and you'll see Jack Sherwood sit in, or else one of their half forwards will come back and you'll see their wing back sit in. I think it's very much like Kerry did it, I suppose, against Tyrone in the league, where they got everyone behind the ball, but then their attack was hindered because of that. And Kerry's strength is their forwards, like. So I think by playing, you know, the Roman sweeper, or, you know, just the extra man when you can get back there, I think it still gives you the opportunity to get forward and get scores, while also just shoring up that defence slightly.
So therefore, if do you expect James Dunne to start?
I don't think so. No,
I think,
like, they can't play him, but it means dropping Ganey or David Clifford.
Yeah,
and given the fitness issues, he probably, Ganey edges James Dunne at this point.
Yeah, and I think James Dunne is a big player to be bringing off the bench. I'm also not sure Keegan will start, to be honest.
Right, okay.
He only got injured a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
From personal experience, I've done an ankle injury. And you can get it to a certain stage. And about 4 weeks later, I came back. Now, his mightn't be as bad as mine. Fair enough. That it might be different. It could have been just a twisted ankle, and that's all right. But when you come back, I came back and played 15 minutes, and the following weekend, I was like, do you know what, I'm ready to go in here, I'm fine. And I'm playing in the inside forward line, remember, so I don't have the 80-yard bursts that he does. But when it came to the following weekend, the pressure of running on it constantly for 70 minutes really had me in a lot of bother. And I think he did 10 minutes last weekend. I think they'll hold him and maybe look for maybe 20 or 25 this weekend.
Right.
I think because of how cagey the game might be for the first 20 or 25 minutes, I think he's a huge presence to bring on. He lifts the whole team when he comes on again, and they're going to need that going into the last 20 minutes because of the games that they've already played.
So who are the four if Kerry only have four forwards? It's going to be Clifford and Ganey,
and it'll definitely be
Sean O'Shea
and Stephen O'Brien.
And Stephen O'Brien
I think Stephen O'Brien is probably, like, he'll be the one to be the link between the inside line and their half forward line. Similar enough to what he did in the second half against Cork in the Munster final.
Is there a situation where Kerry's weakness and Mayo's weakness actually aren't that different from one another? Because when you think Stephen O'Brien, you think success to a certain extent against Mayo, because he is their best runner going forward.
Yeah. Both teams like to play 15 on 15. So maybe when you look at their weaknesses, when one of their players gets beaten, suddenly they're all retreating towards their own goal because of the nature, the way both of them play the game pretty similarly, with two inside, one outside, or one linking between their inside forward line, their half forward line, working hard, and the rest are all tight, maybe sometimes getting the extra man back in there. But I think that's why you tend to see similarities between the two of them, and it's probably the same reason why you've seen so many cracking games between Mayo and Kerry over the years.
Darragh O'Shea in his column this morning is saying put Sean O'Shea at midfield. I know it's something that Ger has been an advocate for a while now as well. And I guess you think about the knock-on impact that has on the Kerry team if Peter Keane believes in him as a capable defender and somebody who's able to track back. Then I think it makes sense. Jack Barry drops out of the team. Then you've got a space open up here in the four. And Cathal O'Kane, who we're going to have on the line in a moment, is suggesting that James O'Donoghue should be playing at 11. So that's a knock-on impact of that, the potential luxury that you have as a playmaker in the forwards.
Yeah, but I also think Sean O'Shea is their best kick passer from 30, 35 metres into their inside forward line. It depends on whether they think Keegan plays. I think Keegan will man-mark him if he does, but I just don't see it. I think Paddy Durkin will be on him.
You'd fancy taking on somebody with an ankle injury, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Twisting and turning.
It's you can't hide, like, you can't hide with that because there's so much pressure on your turning and but I don't know, I don't really see Sean O'Shea playing midfield. I don't think that they've really gone with him there at all. I think it's a very big decision to make it in a Super 8s game. They haven't tried it out. They didn't really try it out in the league, I don't think. They didn't try it out in Munster. And he naturally drifts into that area anyway while also getting up the field. So I think why putting the defensive responsibility on him might actually take away from what he gives you going forward.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. I want to go through some of the Mayo personnel as well, and one of the key men on this is going to be kind of similar to the roaming sweeper. Is it going to be a roving sweeper? Is it going to be kind of a Colin Boyle kind of stuck there or whatever it may be? What I'm going with at the moment, I do have Lee Keegan in this team at the moment, but it's going to be, I think, a full back line. What are we? Are we Reds or are we
Reds? Reds, yeah.
So it's going to be Higgins, Harrison and Barrett as their full back line. For me, if you can get someone like Stephen O'Brien on Keith Higgins, if that's the matchup. That's the matchup Kerry want, I think. I mean, we're looking at Cathal Craig zooming past him in the Connacht final. That's the sort of thing they want. We'll put Colin Boyle, for argument's sake, into the sweeper role for the moment. And then halfbacks of Paddy Durkin anyway. Let's say it's not Lee Keegan. Let's say it's either going to be Donny Vaughan or Stephen Cohen at some point. Then we get into a midfield two of Aidan O'Shea and then the other person there, either Donny Vaughan or Stephen Cohen. And then three half-forwards in Fionn McDonagh, Jason Doherty and Kevin McLaughlin. And that full forward line of Killian O'Connor, Darren Cohn, and James Carr with his 8 million or whatever Twitter views. It's when you look at that team on paper, it's actually an unbelievable outfit. It's very, very hard to pinpoint any weakness in that Mayo team.
It's strong, and the players that they have on the bench make them stronger as well. They have huge experience coming off the bench in a few positions. I think the difference between Mayo and Kerry at the moment is that Mayo trust their inside back line to go man on man. Now, you're not going to get a bigger test than going down to Kerry and trying to mark David Clifford, Paul Ganey and Stephen O'Brien man on man, really. Like, if you're confident that they can be held, I think it gives them so much more impetus going forward. I think Durkin will pick up Sean O'Shea. I think he's mainly just because he's been their man marker when Keegan hasn't been there. He did it against Shane Walsh last weekend, and I just think Boyle might play on the wing. And what you're saying about the sweeper thing, I think they might employ pretty much the same thing that Kerry might do, where you'll see that this wing forward here might drop to just a small bit deeper and James Carr might play out a small bit so that Boyle can get back in. Like, you saw where Carr picked up the ball, it was in this right half forward position, and he's driving in the way, which leaves your space for Killian O'Connor and Darren Cohn inside. It'll be intriguing. I think I'd be very surprised if it was a man-on-man 15-on-15 game. I think you'll see slight variations of the same thing out of both of them because they want to nullify each other, especially.
I'd like to make the case for it being absolutely chaotic at the start and less feeling out, because I think that both sides have a nervous energy about trying to kill the opposition before they get into the game. I think it'll be wild the first 15 minutes.
It'll be wild for 70.
Yeah, I think if you were Kerry, I think you want to really go at Mayo early because they haven't played, as in Kerry need the 15 minute blowout to get back into championship mode because they haven't played for 3 weeks.
Because they could find themselves 2-3 to 2 points down like Galway did if they don't.
Yeah, I think I know we've said it. I've said it. It'll be cagey, but it's only because until Sunday evening, you won't know what players are playing, and you won't know where they're playing. So that's about the first 10 minutes. Might be just a bit kind of see what happens. But Mayo have to get in front if they want to go and win this game.
Yeah, we've got Cara Kane with us as well, who's been writing about the Kerry defence in particular. Cara, you kind of pinpoint the difficulties all the way back to the league that they had. So what's your analysis at the moment of where the Kerry defence is in particular?
Well, the point that I made about the Kerry defence is that, you know, their defence has taken an awful lot of criticism and an awful lot of heat at the minute. And a lot of it comes from far further up the pitch. You know, I watched the Munster final back three times, and I watched it deliberately from behind the goal that, you know, you could kind of see their structure and their setup that wee bit better. And it's very, very clear what they're trying to do. You know, you talk about getting team. Every team gets behind the ball. Now, they're getting behind the ball, but they're doing it around the middle third. They're getting kind of into a structure there very quickly where they're keeping all the bodies at that point of the pitch, and they're kind of still leaving their full back line two on two. And obviously, the Jack Sherwood in front for most of the Munster final as well. But by and large, they're trying to press up in the middle third, and their problem is physically, they're still quite underdeveloped. You know, it's a very young Kerry team, and you could see that. You know, the goal chances that Cork created, the vast majority of them came off runners from deep. You know, and Cork were fit to break that middle third press with such ease through pretty much the whole game. You know, it's no exaggeration to say Cork could have had six goals in the Munster final. And, you know, that leads to the kind of narrative that Kerry have a poor defence. But when you actually study it, when you watch the game, Kerry's defence has absolutely hung out to dry, because their middle third is pressing right up. They've been completely ineffective. Their middle third didn't put anywhere near enough tackles on. Cork actually turned Kerry over in their own half more often than the opposite way around. It was, you know, it was 4-3 for Cork on that stat. So, you know, when you're putting a middle third press on and you're pressing right up onto the opposition's half and you only turn them over three times in the whole game, you know, you're really asking for bother. And there are definitely deficiencies in their defence in terms of man marking. I think Peter Crowley's a massive loss to them. I think Tadhg Morley has actually done very well at fullback, but, you know, whatever wee bit of weakness is there, they're not protecting it, because they're pushing so far up the pitch and they're getting crucified in the space.
Is there any possibility that they took Cork lightly, and that's one of the reasons why the tackling is so off? Or is this a pattern that we've seen emerge over the course of the league?
I think it's definitely a pattern when they play that way. And you just look, you're talking about playing that way, that middle third press. You kind of your first line, all right, your full forward line gets behind the ball, but your kind of your first line is your half forward line, and it's not a physically imposing half forward line at all. You know, Dermot O'Connor, Sean O'Shea, Darragh Moynihan. You know, and Cork were much more physically imposing from their half back line going forward, and they were fit to break that tackle. It wasn't that Kerry forward line wasn't working as such. They were just really struggling to get, you know, they were struggling to get any contact on, never mind meaningful contact. You know, they couldn't get to the pitch and they couldn't get the tackles on, and that manifested itself in breaking the line constantly, Cork breaking the line. And it just, you know, it must raise questions over whether Kerry continue to play that way, because their problem has been under Eamon Fitzmaurice, even the last couple of years, has been finding the balance between defence and attack, and it's something that they've really struggle with big time. You know, you go back to the two games against Mayo, the All-Ireland semi-final a couple of years ago, where they didn't have a sweeper in the first game, and Andy Moran absolutely destroyed them and almost beat them on his own. They went then and put a sweeper in for the replay and sort of tried to protect against that, and their forward play was so poor that day. They couldn't get any support to the inside forward line. They couldn't get the ball to stick. Their half forward line was so ineffective. And so, you know, that was kind of the ultimate example of how they've struggled to kind of bridge that gap.
Yeah.
Your piece, Catherine, I'd be interested to get your take on this as well, Michael, also touches on the idea of Kerry's attacking play and how that sometimes leaves a bit to be desired as well, given the star-studded talent that they have. Like, you're suggesting that perhaps they should be going, getting quicker ball into the full forward line a lot sooner, that they didn't utilise that at all, that basically Tom Sullivan and Gavin White were running forward, but they didn't utilise the kicking option too well.
Yeah, again, it's not just in the Munster final. It's a couple of games that I'd watched of them through the league as well. But the Munster final, probably, again, just watching it from behind the goal, you get such a good view of kind of what's happening around you. And I actually think that Paul Gainey and David Clifford have become a wee bit frustrated with the way that they're playing, because their movement wasn't as sharp as I would expect it to be, or wasn't as crisp and wasn't as good, basically, as I would expect it to be from two forwards of that calibre in that game. And what was happening was Kerry's, basically their middle third, when they were on the ball, they're not even really looking up. You know, Kerry, you always associate with being a heads-up team, you know, always looking. They get the ball, they put their head up, and the first thought is to kick the ball. And you're all right, if it's not on, you don't kick it. But so much of the time that Kerry had the ball in that Munster final, their players on the ball weren't even looking up. you know, they're looking square, they're looking 5 yards to the side and see who's coming running off the shoulder. And while they got a bit of impact out of that, and while, you know, their forward line still got scores, they were manufactured differently. And I just think for them to be at their best, it's not about being route one or being mad and just kicking the ball aimlessly, but with forwards that have the potential that they have to try and service them a wee bit more, because they're not, I don't believe they're getting anywhere near the best out of them.
What do you think?
I take the point on not their movement not being as crisp. Just from playing in the inside line, if you don't know when the ball is coming in, it's very hard to move to be in the position to take it. So if they're maybe transitioning, and I don't know what Kerry are doing, they might be transitioning to try and, you know, really emphasise how good their halfbacks are at going at the goal, making that 80-yard burst and going the whole way in. But it means that their inside forward line don't know. They're in two minds. They're like, I can move out of the way here, I can make my move early, and then the ball doesn't arrive, and then I'm moving again. And I think the Kerry teams that we've seen over the last few years, they had a settled team for a long time, who their players are used to playing with each other. They know when each other are going to kick the ball. They know the right time to move, and that's why it looked so fluid all of the time. And maybe that the fact that there's been a huge overhaul in the last couple of years, it takes time for teams to bed in. It takes time for players to get to know each other's habits, when to move, when they want to give the ball. And that could be just something that maybe over the next couple of years you might see that they'll refine it a bit better.
The point about the half forward line being so physically slight compared to their direct opponents, Kerry know that. That's not breaking news to Kerry. So are you asking them to be the front line of your defence, and is that a mistake?
I think everyone tries to get, as Carr said, I think everyone tries to get their half or their full forward line behind the ball as early as possible if you can. And that's not to try and turn over the ball. Most of the time it's just to try and slow it down, to give your defence a bit of time to get organised at the back so that teams aren't moving the ball as quickly as possible up the field. After most of the time, those teams, when the ball gets between the 45 and 65, you'll notice that the full forward line, or one if not two, will maybe move back in. The problem we saw against Cork was that was happening, but it was too easy to go into their 65 and suddenly you were at their defence. And that's where it is hard. You're asking Darren Moynihan and O'Connor, who are, 20, 21, 22, they're quite young. Like, it takes until you're 25, 26 before you're, you know, big enough that you can stop the man up, especially if guys who are a good bit older than you are running at you. It's quite difficult. You very rarely see players who, you know, are that physically developed at that age. And especially when you have maybe two or three of them in the same line, that's when, you know, it becomes just a small bit too easy to break it.
Yeah, so Carr, is there nothing that Carr can do then? You're talking about maybe changing style of play. Like, what else can you do when you have three young lads as the first line of defence?
Well, I know they played a challenge game against Roscommon last week, and Mark Griffin actually played at number 12 for them, which, you know, kind of, I'm obviously not 100% sure of the reason for that, but it looks like that's the potential reason for playing Mark Griffin at number 12, why you would do that. Because otherwise, you know, if you're going to play a middle third press, it is going to be a big struggle with that half forward line. You know, you're just going to find that it's going to get broken, especially, you know, we're talking about Mayo and the threat that they have from deep and the power of those runners that they have from there. You know, you either end up changing your style of play. And people, you know, talked about Kerry changing their style of play under Peter Keenan. You know, they went against Tyrone in the first league game right back at the start and pretty much put 14-15 behind the ball, closed it all up and won the game 11-7. And, you know, Tyrone didn't see it coming, they got kept to 7 points, but the big issue for Kerry was that they only scored 11 themselves, you know, and finding that, I go back to the balance that they haven't been able to find. You know, they would feel that they get the best out of their attack by trying to press up the pitch and trying to keep as many men in support as they can, and that is, you know, why the middle third press kind of comes about. But when that's being so ineffective, it's really hanging their entire defence out to dry. They do need to look seriously at the sweeper position as well. You know, they've tried different players, like Jack Sherwood, I have to say, you know, looked very uncomfortable playing it during the Munster final, you know, wasn't really effective in terms, you know, he seemed stuck as when they come in and when they drop back and when they push out, you know, and he ended up kind of didn't really do either to any great effect, and it doesn't seem like a position they've maybe put as much stock on as they could. So that if they're going to go with that, they need to probably solve that problem, put a designated full-time sweeper, somebody who's, you know, because any sweeper will tell you, like, it looks like an easy role to play, but it's not an easy role to play. Like, your timing has to be absolutely, you know, that's why Keane O'Sullivan is so good at it. Like, his timing and his reading of the game is absolutely precise. Whereas, you know, anybody who's 5% down on that timing, the quality of kick passing now in the game and the quality of, you know, the ball's past them.
Just one very last quick thing on this, Michael. You talk about potentially lack of physicality in the Kerry side. What about Tommy Walsh?
Yeah, but that doesn't solve your problem around...
Not half forward.
Yeah.
Can he play a role? Like, I mean, he was out playing a bit deeper during the league, and it seems that he hasn't got a crack in this summer's championship.
Yeah, I think he does his most damage when he's inside, because he's, you know, he's so physical, he's very good overhead, and I think defenders struggle with that high ball, because when the ball comes down, you have so many runners coming off it. I mean, Ganey used to get so many goals making that run off Donaghy. But they just don't seem to fancy it at the minute. Maybe it is the fact that they're not kicking the ball as much and as early into their inside forward line, because I think that's what he would feed on, would be early deliveries from the middle of the field when the ball gets turned over.
Is he not mobile enough for a half-forward role?
I thought he looked good when he was on the ball out wide during the league, but granted, mobility in the league is a very different thing to mobility in the championship. Clearly, he just isn't going well enough in training to justify one of those starting positions, because they do talk about the lack of kind of brawn in that half-forward line. They're still good runners. I mean, Darragh Moynihan and Dermot O'Connor will still run all day for you, whereas Tommy Walsh wouldn't do that. He just has the brawn. So I do agree with you. It is kind of a situation where if you play a three-man forward line, or if there's an injury, you do throw him in. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
I think the Mark Griffin thing is interesting,
yeah,
that they're playing him at the half-forward line. Is that to try and get a hit on early, or is that the fact that he's going to be the one that goes back and whoever plays right half back is going to tuck in as the sweeper? I think that will be something to look out for on Sunday.
You were nodding your head there like, oh yeah, I'd heard that, as if it was like, you're like, oh yeah, but you didn't tell us. It was like suppressing the information from the Kerry camp here.
No, Carr had written it in his excellent column yesterday, so the cheers for the tip, Carr.
That was the first time you heard it. You read the column yesterday I knew this last week.
I actually meant to say it before we got him on the line. Like, he could be used as a third midfielder as well. He's played midfield previously and all that sort of thing. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that kind of comes to pass.
Carr, the Tyrone team obviously had your column from the previous week up on the dressing room wall, where you were not quite writing them off, but basically saying that their reversion to earlier type in the running game against Kildare was going to be the death knell for their championship chances this year, ultimately, when they come up against the better teams. Part of me thinks that actually being able to go back to something in the middle of a championship at times of crisis isn't the worst thing for a team. At least they have that identity, and now they also, it seems to me, they have a full forward who they can lump it into as needs must later on. So are they not in a good position now?
Funny, I was talking to Joe McMahon yesterday evening for piece for this morning's paper, and he kind of made that same point, you know, that to be able to go back sort of settled to Rowan. You know, they were probably a bit rattled by losing to Donegal. They've been so good at the running game, and to go back to it for a couple of weeks, you know, they won a couple of games, they built their confidence up, they got big scores racked up, you know, all of that. There's definitely that side to it, but I just think that my point on it was that what we've seen from them, the running game just has not succeeded against Dublin. You know, and ultimately, where Tyrone are at now, that's where their sights are. You know, if you know, they have Dublin now. They know Dublin are coming to Omagh for sure in the start of August. You know, they'd be hoping that the way the draw has panned out, that they'd end up back with them in an All-Ireland final again. You know, and that's obviously a wee bit presumptuous, but that's where their eyes are at. And it's just that the running game just does not trouble Dublin the same way it troubles everybody else. And we talk about, you know, a higher press. You watch Dublin Tyrone games and you kind of watch them from a height and watch them live. Dublin just suffocate Tyrone. You know, Keane O'Sullivan comes back and plays. He cuts off any sort of semblance of a kick pass or any threat of a kick pass, because Tyrone at times were leaving one up front. And, you know, there is a fair degree of excitement about Cathal McShane, and he's had a brilliant summer. But, you know, Mark Bradley's movement for Tyrone last year was absolutely brilliant. You know, across the line, like, his movement was as good as any forward in Ireland. He made, you know, for every ball that he was going to get kicked, he almost made 8 runs across the line. And he barely stepped outside the 21, like, and he was such an outlet for them. And yet, you know, Dublin were able to cut that threat off so easily because they just protected the space in front of it, because Tyrone didn't have enough bodies and support to, you know, to create the illusion that they were going to do something else to allow the kick pass to be played. And all of that, you know, Tyrone have been trying to play a wee bit more expansively this year. They've obviously met a disaster in the Donegal game, and they've gone back to what they were doing. They have to keep more bodies up the pitch, and they have to kick the ball a bit more if they're going to break the Dublin puzzle themselves, because the running game will not do it on its own. And my point being that they're not well enough versed in the kicking game yet. They haven't done it long enough. And now the fact that they've taken 3 qualifiers where they could have really, you know, settled down into it, had a good bit of work at it, and been more effective coming into the Super 8s, because they're not going to go to Roscommon on Sunday and do it. You know, Saturday. Roscommon is too tricky a venue. They're going to go there and play the running game and be safe and make sure they win the game.
And you think they will win that game, though?
I think they will win the game, yeah, I think they will. I just think they're just that wee bit cuter. You know, it's a totally different game to last year's game with Roscommon. And the thing about Roscommon is, and they'll well know it, you know, their defensive solidity this year and compared to last year, you know, comes down largely to Anthony Cunningham picking the same back 9 for the entire championship. You know, whereas last year Kevin McStay was saying he couldn't settle on a centre half back. Like, I think the Tyrone game last year was Cal Craig who played centre half back against Tyrone, you know, so they've settled into all that, and Tyrone do struggle even playing the running game. They do struggle against teams that set up well, and Meath showed that last year in Navan. You know, Tyrone were very, very lucky to get out of that game because Meath were well set up.
Yeah.
So it'll be tough for them, but I think they'll get out of it.
All right. Cara, good to have you with us this morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, mate.
It's Cara Kane there from the Irish News. 2 of the quick games to talk about briefly. Cork against Dublin. There's some thoughts, Michael, that maybe Cork have forwards who will be able to take the goal chances that Dublin have coughed up so far, and this game could be a bit closer than we might have anticipated.
Yeah, what's your definition of close?
I think it could be a 6-point game.
Yeah, I suppose that's close for Dublin, isn't it? I don't think Cork fear Dublin. I think it's in their nature to be confident regardless of who they're playing. And I mean that with the greatest respect.
No, you don't.
I'm telling you, they just don't. They don't.
They're Corkness.
Bar playing Kerry over the last few years, but that was probably born out of, you know, that Kerry team has changed now. It's not the old Kerry team that they would have had huge battles with. But I think that they will go to Dublin and they'll try to just play their own game. I think Dublin will win comfortably. It's a big thing for Cork and Meath over the last few days is there seems to be a sense that everything you hear written about them is it's great to get to the Super 8s and that's it.
Yeah.
Whereas you now have 3 games where it goes up a notch, and going to Dublin to play them on a Saturday night in Croke Park there's no bigger game in the country at the minute.
Yeah. So actually, it's that whole, is bonus territory, but that's a terrible way to go into.
Yeah, it is.
Because actually, the teams are thinking, we're here for business.
I think if you look at what Kerry, what Kerry did against Cork, I think you need to stop Rory Dean, so I think you'll see a number being done on him. I think he's their focal point. Mark Collins has been brilliant. Brian Hurley was excellent last weekend. So I think to stop the threat that Cork have, you need to stop them higher up the field. So I think you'll see Dublin come and press their half-back line and really put pressure on the ball before it gets into their forward.
And what about Meath against Donegal? Can Meath do something in this game, or is that again bonus territory?
It's a tough, like, you have to go up to Ballybuffet to play Donegal, isn't it? Like, that's a really tough place to go in your first game in the Super 8s. And Donegal, who came off such a brilliant Ulster campaign,
your one hope is that they're a little bit somehow ring rusty, and that actually instead of.
Yeah, and they went up there during the league. Now, I know Donegal had a lot of players injured and didn't play, but like Meath pretty much left the game behind them up there with a goal in the last minute that, you know, should never have happened. So, like, I wouldn't give them they would have been very, very happy to get over Clare, and I think, you know, it's a big step for them because, you know, there's been such negativity around Meath football for a long time, for the last few years, definitely. So I think, you know, the confidence they would have taken from now being a Super 8s team can give them a big boost going up there. I still don't think they'll have enough, though. I think you'll see Donegal win.
Comfortably? 5 points?
I think, yeah, I think so. I just think that Donegal know what's coming down the line. They know that they have Mayo and Kerry, which are two massive games, and they have to get off to a win up in Ballybofey.
It seems that that group is perfectly suited to Donegal. Of course, not being in Dublin's group suits everybody, but it seems that even from a stylistic point of view, coming up against Dublin isn't precisely what this Donegal team is set up for, whereas with Kerry and Mayo, they can have a right crack off them.
Yeah, I also, like, I wouldn't like to be playing Dublin twice to go win an All-Ireland. So
yeah.
I think that's where Tyrone are under a bit of pressure. If you know, if what Carr said, if they're setting their sights on All-Ireland, they have to welcome Dublin to Oma and then probably go down to Croke Park if Dublin are in the final and go and beat them again, which is quite tough. You kind of, are you trying to hold something up your sleeve? Are you thinking that far down the line? Because there's so many games between now and then.
Yeah.
What do you do? Like,
I don't know. It's really hard. I think you've no choice but to try and go and win the game and get the confidence that comes from that. I just want to show you this. It's the most controversial thing in the world of Gaelic football at the moment. It's the OTBAM Gaelic Football Power Rankings, brought to you by Specsavers. Where are Tipperary? Oh, now that you know, you're faced with the actual...
Shit, I would say.
So...
Geez, they're way lower than I thought.
Than you thought in your own power rankings. Right. How do you feel about that, Michael Quinn, living in Tipperary?
Yeah, totally expected better now on.
Behind Longford, geez, I'm very harsh in Tipperary this year. Behind Offaly as well. I suppose Offaly with that, with a decent kind of few wins this season, that was kind of what kind of propelled them there. Derry and Down was a particular source of consternation for Gerard, rating them so highly this year.
Sometimes you just have to hold your hands up, like, we went out after two losses in a championship too, you know, and if you're ranking it, the nature of a power ranking is that it's current, it's not based on...
Well, I mean, I like the fact that you have some...
Well, actually, hold on a minute.
You're putting some credibility in this.
Hold on a minute, actually. I wish I knew you were springing this on me because I could have counter-sprung a video on you. So after the Limerick defeat, I held on to the belief that Tipperary were way ahead of Limerick in the power rankings. Jura here actually argued otherwise, that Limerick should have leapfrogged you in the power rankings.
I agree,
so,
and that week...
Yeah,
in that week, right?
Over, I think you fall between two stools. You have to go with the current thing, but can you move player? Can you move teams right up and down?
Yeah,
is it that?
Yeah, you can. It's well, we're making the rules up here, so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, pedigree counts for something.
Okay, Owen, you're rattled. And that's great. Michael, thank you very much for joining us. That's the OTBAM Gaelic Football Power Rankings with you every Wednesday, sponsored by Specsavers, the official partner of GAA Hawkeye.
OTB AM. Brought to you by Avantcard Reward Plus Credit Card. Powered by MasterCard. Straight up better than your current credit card. Avantcard DAC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.